Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, October 6th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelia Jr. I'm joined by LaCroix Poppy himself, aka my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, aka Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Happy Thursday to you, Bless. Today is a blessed day for all of us. A cursed day, some would say.
What's that supposed to mean?
It was a little over a year ago that we sat in these very positions when we learned that Chris Pratt would be voicing Mario, that Anya Taylor-Joy would be voicing Princess Peach, that Seth Rogen would be voicing Donkey Kong, et cetera, et cetera. And today, we're going to see it. We're going to get the face reveal that the world has been waiting for, officially, not from leaked things. We're going to hear that voice come out
of those little lips. Did you see the leaks? Did you look at the leaks?
Oh, just the one picture? Yeah.
Because I can help myself. I saw a picture pop up and I was like, I gotta just look at this.
We gotta know.
Like, see every detail of Mario's face, which let me tell you, it's definitely Mario.
Yeah.
Oh, I looked at the guy, I was like, that's motherfucking Mario. That's the guy.
Here's to their credit, I gotta say, it's not ugly Mario. It's just Mario. It's not like you looked at Sonic and like, that's ugly Sonic, you know?
I will say, I don't want to reveal it. I don't want to spoil the kids for, later on we'll do live reactions to the actual trailer itself. I will say, not ugly Mario, a little Yossified Mario, though. I'm just going to say.
He does look a little different.
A little prettier, I'll say.
I like that. I like it. But yeah,
he looks like they took him to the green room and then like they patted him with makeup and they marched him out and they're like,
they took the Italian out of him a little bit and I don't appreciate that. We need more Italian representation.
See, I feel like they added more in.
Huh. Tim, what's your dissection of the poster? I assume you saw it.
Oh yeah,
I mean, beautiful.
I'm very
poster,
excited.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty dope. I think it's great. I like that it looks different. I'm super happy it's not that generic DreamWorks style, Illumination style that we see so many movies get. That honestly, I kind of assumed we were going to get from the Mario movie. So far, this movie's done everything right for me. I'm excited to see what this trailer brings us. But like, I'm on the positive side of this, honestly.
Barry, if you're able to bring up the poster, if you have a few seconds to go, and, oh man, you are quick with it. Oh, you brought up Mario's ass, which again, Mario's ass is missing. It's nowhere to be found.
Ass is missing. Luigi has to go find it.
Luigi has to be the plot of the movie. I want to give a shout out to it was Gene Park on Twitter the other day who pointed out that it looks like Captain Toad is like showing Mario to the Mushroom Kingdom for the first time. Because if you zoom into some of the toads in the background, they look kind of like surprised and kind of like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, what is this? And then Toad looks like he's almost like a tour guide, right? And Mario's looking at the Mushroom Kingdom.
I don't think it's Captain Toad, technically.
You don't think it's Captain?
But I do think it's Toad with a little backpack on.
Is that not just what Captain Toad is? I guess Captain Toad has like a head.
Yeah, Captain Toad like has a lot more.
What if he ends the movie with the little headgear?
Oh, that'd be so sick.
He like turns into his whole arc in this movie. He becomes Captain Toad.
I mean, I'd be pretty stoked about that.
That gave me chills, Barrett.
I know. I give myself chills.
Here we go.
Okay, but also to take it back, take the chills away. Like I brought up when this poster was revealed, is the assumption, again, last time we can ask this before the trailer comes out, is Keegan-Michael Key voicing all these toads?
100%.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Or is it just the main toad here with the red head?
I want every single toad in this movie to have the same voice that Keegan-Michael Key uses for his anger translator, Obama bit. Where it is like, what the fuck is up? Like, I want that kind of toad. I want Toad to be mad.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be the red one. But you're not totally off. Barrett, I can see them doing that depending on the tone of the film.
I want them to lean into it and he voices every single one. Honestly, Slushy in the YouTube chat asks, isn't the blue toad the main one? Where have you been since the 80s? What?
In Mario 2, he was the blue toad.
Okay, that's true. That's one that's game. Actually a good call.
That's one game. Every other What's game the main, it's been
is the only game you play as him.
Here's what I want to say too. I think you can't really go wrong with the Toad voice situation, because if you have all these other Toads sound like the modern annoying ass Toad voice, where it is like the high pitch, I can't do it. I think Jared Petty does it sometimes, and I'm like, God, what? Yeah, exactly. If every Toad sounds like that, and there's this one Toad that just sounds like Keegan-Michael Key, that's gonna be fucking hilarious.
That's the best.
Like, I don't think there's any. Or you have like some of them that sound like that. Yeah, some of them that sounds like N64 Toad, where he just sounds like a fucking baby. It was like, no, like you have like that high pitched Toad, and then you just have fucking Keegan-Michael Key as the main Toad. No matter what direction they take it in, it's gonna be amazing. I can't wait for this trailer.
Change the game.
This poster was the thing that turned me around. I can't wait for it. Of course, are we gonna be live reacting to it, or what's the status on that, Tim?
We will be live reacting to that today.
Over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and youtube.com/kindoffunny.
We can do that?
That's is that right? No, hold on. I think we're just gonna be on one of the YouTubes. Just kind of funny. Just kind of funny. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. That one, because it's a movie trailer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a video game movie trailer.
I know that complicates things, but hey, we have a show called Screencast. Okay.
Hell yeah! Well, that's going down later today, 1 p.m. I believe is when that's gonna premiere. But for now, Tim, let's talk about the news that's happening currently, because today's stories include Need for Speed Unbound looking anime as fuck, PlayStation letting you link to your Steam account, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content like Kind of Feudy and like The Shit List. So look out for that. Housekeeping for you, a new Kind of Funny Gamescast is up right now featuring Janet Garcia talking all about Gotham Knights, Andy and I talking about Overwatch 2, and our time hopping back into Mario Maker 2. That is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Then in case you missed it, we got some new merch. Merch of the month is the Studio Bomber Jacket designed by Nick at Campfire Design Studio that Tim Fucking Geddes is wearing right now. Let me tell you, Tim looks so fresh in it.
It's good. It's real good.
Is it comfy? Love is it comfortable?
It's very comfortable. Very light. Very different than the PS I Love You bomber jacket that we had before. That one's a little thicker, like a little more. It's puffy. It's for the warmth. This one's one of them lightweight ones you can just bundle up and take with you everywhere.
That's my favorite kind, too.
Yo, dude, me too.
Because it's more for fashion at that point. And
yeah,
I love it.
Fashion over function, yeah, which yeah. I'm all yeah. about that fashion over function.
And show look at the inside. Come
that's,
on.
Oh, look at that design.
So cool. That's topography.
That Nick at Campfire special touch right
is
there.
That like it California is. Topography? Like,
it is.
Oh, that's really
it
cool.
It actually is.
Wow.
Damn, look at that. If you're an audio listener, I implore you to go to the video version and look at this, because this job bomber jacket is insane. It looks amazing. But speaking of something that looks insane and amazing, the work from home shirt designed by the up-and-comer Andy Cortez is also up on kindoffunny.com/store. And I love this thing as well. Really, really good design. It's going to be one of the ones where, actually under this, I think I'm wearing like another work from home shirt, like the one that we had at the beginning.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I think this is a Patreon exclusive. Here, I'm stripping in front of all you.
Yeah. Love it.
I love this shirt that I'm wearing, but then, yeah, I also love this new design. I think it's going to be one of those nostalgia ones where 4 years from now, I'm going to look back at that shirt and be like, damn, we worked from home for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like over 2 years, almost 2.5 years.
Almost three.
Fucking wild, man. Absolutely insane. But go check those out, kindoffunny.com/store. And then, of course, it is finally happening. Friday the 14th, we're moving into the spare bedroom, our 5,000 square foot state-of-the-art studio in San Francisco, and you're invited to the marathon stream to end all marathon streams. It starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Cisco will be here. James Elise Williams will be here. Mm-hmm. And we'll be doing some of your favorite bits live while funding a whole bunch of brand new Kinda Funny content. You don't want to miss it. Friday, October 14th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Now, that means that next week will be different. Monday the 10th, we'll record KFGD and the final Kinda Funny podcast from home, but all other content except for Greg's Gregway vlogs on Patreon will be canceled as we move in and prep for the for Friday the 14th stream. You do not want to miss it. Tim, how hype should people be?
I don't think people should ever have been more hype for a Kinda Funny thing than what we're about to do on October 14th. And I say that without any hesitation at all. I've made hype trailers in my day. They're kind of my favorite thing to do. I have outdone myself with what we're doing with the reveal of this studio. I swear to God, it is about to be the dopest thing ever. There are so many elements on October 14th that are going to blow people's minds. But I'm telling you, the first reveal of the studio for the first time, my greatest work.
Wow. I was really scared because it sounded like you were about to say, I don't think people should be hyped at all.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, oh, Tim. This is very unlike Tim.
Don't be hyped at all.
What happened?
Be hyped.
Thank you to our Patreon producer, Frogo Brady, on YouTube. Today we're about to be by NZXT and Chime, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Tim. I have a need. A need for speed.
What's
that
need for? Yeah, it's baby. For
speed, Tim. Need for Speed Unbound has finally been revealed after many leaks. And let me tell you, it's been one of the ones where I've been biding my time because, like, I prep Kinda Funny games daily every single day. And every single day this week had new Need for Speed leaks. And I was like, is this the day it makes it to the show? I don't know, man. We have a lot to talk about. And finally, it's officially revealed. We can talk about it in official capacity. So we don't have to fucking speculate and do all that stuff. We can just talk about the stuff that we see in front of us. And let me tell you, the stuff that we see in front of us is very interesting. This is Cat Bailey at IGN. A new Need for Speed will be arriving on PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC this December, featuring the return of Criterion as the lead developer for the first time in close to a decade. Titled Need for Speed Unbound, Criterion's long-awaited return to the racing scene will utilize new-gen consoles and the Frostbite engine to deliver 4K 60fps visuals in a free-roaming open world called Lakeshore. The physics will run at a high frame rate as well, offering, quote, more control and nuance to the physical movement of cars, end quote. More control and nuance to the physical movement of cars. All right, cool. That comes from the creator-director, Kieran Crimmins at EA. And it's just the fact that, like, the physical movement of cars, like, as opposed to the what movement of cars? You know, the spiritual movement of cars? The mental movement of cars? I digress. A trailer released Thursday offered fans their first look at the newly revamped art style, which is meant to reflect the franchise's return to its street racing roots, as well as the input of rapper ASAP Rocky, who will have his own mode in the new entry. Its emphasis on art and graffiti will extend to the gameplay, with burst nitrous boosts rewarded for stylish driving. Quote, Need for Speed is about trendsetting. Need for Speed is about breaking the mold. Need for Speed is about rebellion. It's at the heart of that street racing fantasy. So we should be exploring new art styles and new visions and new ways the game can look so that we can not only stand out from everything else, but also deliver innovation where we should be setting trends, Crimmins says. Of course, the IGN article goes on. They had like an exclusive reveal on it. I implore you, if you want to learn more of the nitty gritty details about Need for Speed Unbound, go over to IGN, give them the clip, give them the read. But Nibel has some bullet points for us here as well. It is running at 4K 60fps using the Frostbite engine. There's a brand new high frame rate physics system. There's offline single player racing with a campaign, but then there's also multiplayer with crossplay support. And there's going to be free post launch content updates. Tim, we've talked about Need for Speed. You're a Need for Speed fan, right? At least from back in the day.
Yeah. You know, everyone has their own rebellion. I guess the Need for Speeds was to have a little bit more color in their world. This is interesting. Last week when this was first starting being leaked and talked about, me and you were discussing it, and you were saying that it sounds lame as hell. And I was like, I don't know. This sounds like just the right type of corny bullshit that I'm looking for. And looking at this, this looks like just the type of corny bullshit I'm looking for. Having said that, I don't know if this is going to be the one. Things are looking towards it. We talked about this a little bit last week where it's like, this is coming out in December. That's really soon, you know? Yeah. And like, we don't know how long they've been actually working on this. We have Criterion returning for the first time in close to a decade. That could be good. They could have been working on it for a long time. And like, this is their one. But I'm hoping that's the case, because what I don't want to happen is this seems to be the closest we've gotten to an underground in a very long time. And I hope that if that's the case, that they don't kind of waste that opportunity on something that they're just rushing out the door. This seems cool. I feel like it's a little less anime vibe. It has like Spider-Verse type of inspiration I'm seeing here. And that's cool. I don't know if they're going to do enough with it. I don't know if that like kind of the aesthetics of this are going to be backed up by the right type of gameplay. Because I feel like arcade racers and especially the Need for Speed types are so hard to get that balance right between the realism versus the arcadiness versus just the fun of the gameplay. You know, yeah. And then that making sure the looks and the sounds all add up to a cohesive experience. And I haven't had that in a Need for Speed game in a very, very, very long time. I've had spurts of fun, even booting up Need for Speed Heat a couple years ago for a little bit, like just racing around the tracks. It's like, all right, this is fun, but it's not like a video game I need to commit myself to, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I what was it this last month that Need for Speed Heat came to PlayStation Plus. I downloaded it and I played just a little bit of it just to kind of remind myself on how does Need for Speed feel to play. And you know, Need for Speed Heat is one that I think gets a lot of love. I think it's probably one of the standouts in the last decade of Need for Speed. But even me going back to it, and this might just be the PS4-ness of it, I was like, man, I don't know if this controls and moves the way that I want it to. And it's that weird, I think it's that interesting place where Need for Speed exists on the arcade to sim spectrum. Because for me, if you come to me right now and you're like, what is the racing game to play in 2022, I'd be like, oh man, Forza Horizon 5 is the one, right? I think that kind of that hits that perfect sweet spot of it's simmy enough to where it looks beautiful and the way the cars sound is amazing. But then like also the arcadiness is fun. They have good challenges. It's a video game ass video game while also having a lot of the quality that you can get out of a a Forza Motorsport at the same time. Need for Speed is definitely way more on the arcadey side of the spectrum. And I feel like nowadays you kind of get those way fewer and far between. I think it's either you get a Forza or like a Forza Horizon, or you're getting a Cruise and Blast or something, or like a kart racer or something that's on the way other end of the, hey, we don't really need to think about realism whatsoever about for this, right? Let's just have fun. Need for Speed is kind of in the middle of that, where it is an arcade racer.
Well, there's
the burnouts
as well, right? Like there's the other side of things, and especially when you bring Criterion into it, so.
Yeah, but we haven't gotten a burnout in so long. And what I want to see is for a Need for Speed slash burnout game to come back and really cement that, no, this specific portion of the spectrum can still exist and still actually be a banger. Because I go back to Burnout Paradise Remastered, and guess what? That game is still a banger. Game is still really fun. And I think I don't think there's anything about like these type of arcade racing games that have aged terribly necessarily, right? I don't know what it is that we haven't gotten as many in the last decade or so. Maybe it is just the fact that, hey, these are expensive to make, and so we're gonna make them, we gotta go all the way in the Forza sense, or we gotta just like make it really fun and really speedy and make it about the arcade shit in the Cruise and Blast sense. With that though, like to what you were talking about earlier, right, with Criterion, I'm also fascinated to see what they bring to the table. It's been Ghost Games that have been making the most recent Need for Speed games that, for me, haven't been hitting. Criterion is a developer that I love, right? That Criterion are the ones who made Burnout 3. They made Burnout Revenge. They made Burnout Paradise. And then they also worked on things like Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit. But then also, since then, they've done a lot of support work for EA. I've been wanting Criterion to come back and really get back to the racing game roots. And ideally, I would have wanted that with Burnout, right? Like, I don't know why EA decides to just keep Burnout on
ice. Need for Speed Burnout.
Need for Speed Burnout would be so good. And even when they... I forget if it was Heat or the one that was before Heat, where they revealed the trailer at E3, and it kind of looked like that. Like, they showed Destruction, they showed Fast Speed, they showed all that stuff that looked like Burnout, but it had Need for Speed in the name. But it just didn't pan out to be that, right? Like, I would love for them to come back with that in some sense. But the fact that it's Criterion, the fact that they're working on Need for Speed, I do like that they're going in a different direction with it. I'm still not completely sold. I like that they're kind of getting radical, but when I look at the visuals, when I look at the art style, it doesn't work as much for me, right? It doesn't work together, right? And maybe that's the whole point of it, is they want these realistic cars, but then they want the bursts of animation and the Spider-Verse style stuff, but it looks weird to me.
It feels like an imitation. Like, you look at it and like it either looks like, oh, it's anime inspired, or oh, it's Spider-Verse inspired, but it doesn't. It's inspired is kind of where it ends. It doesn't look like it has its own thing to say at all, which is not great for something like this, because I don't think that just, you know, adding a dope art style to that gameplay is going to be enough to make it special. We need the gameplay to stand on its own, and I feel like it's been a while since we've had that from this team, from this franchise. But I hope that I'm wrong, because I want a world where Need for Speed games are coming out and are things that we are looking forward to, and not things that are just, we're confused about of, wait, which one was this? Did people like this?
Yeah.
Did I play that one?
Was Payback like, one of the good ones? Was exactly, Heat one of the good ones? Like,
they need to fix that, because there was a time where you just expected they were going to be great.
100%. Yeah. And now, and I like, when I look more into the details of what they're bringing to the table with this Need for Speed game, right? Like, I look at the 4K 60 FPS stuff and I'm like, cool, that is a must have, right? Like, I think you want that for a racing game that's coming out on the PlayStation 5. But then also, like, then talking about the open world and all that stuff, I believe Heat had an open world as well. Like, that's not new, but I think there's stuff they can do with that, especially if they're going for that that underground vibe of, like, you know, underground street racing. You know, yeah, bring that to the table, see where you can go with it. Then talking about the ASAP Rocky stuff in the campaign where ASAP Rocky is going to play a character. All right, cool. Like, let's see what that's about. I think that's the kind of that's the kind of thing people want from Need for Speed. I think it's fascinating that they're going with ASAP Rocky, because, like, I like ASAP Rocky. I dig ASAP Rocky's music. I feel like There's a number of other artists and celebrities you could probably go with that might be a little bit more popular than ASAP Rocky. ASAP Rocky, I think, is a little bit of a deep cut.
This feels like a move from, like, 6 years ago when, like, ASAP Rocky was, like, starting to appear in, like, shows and movies and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it feels a little late for that, but, you know.
Like, that's like if... And I don't want to insult ASAP Rocky, because I do love ASAP Rocky. But that's like if in 2011, they're like, cool, let's make Ja Rule the main character of this game. It's like ASAP Rocky came out...
Plus,
like,
even you
ago.
Know that is too far. That's is way it too far.
Is it? Like, ASAP Rocky's last album was what, like 2018, 2017? It's been a while since I listened to a new ASAP Rocky thing. But all power to him. Like, I hope this works out. I'm looking forward to seeing what ASAP brings to the table for Need for Speed. Does he change the game? I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Will he do what Aaron Paul did? I don't know.
Does the campaign excite you?
I wish that it did. It should, but it doesn't, because I just don't have faith. If I had faith in this project, I think it'd be a lot more exciting. Like, so many elements of this should be cool. It's just, if there weren't the last 7 entries in this franchise to make me not really be excited about this, then it'd be a different story. But there were, bless. There were.
God. I'm so curious about this thing. I hope it hits. And I guess we'll see in only a couple months. It's coming at you, December. Get ready for it. Story number 2. Players can now link their PlayStation Network and Steam accounts. This comes from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. Players can now link their PlayStation Network and Steam accounts. The first game that allows players to do this is Marvel Spider-Man, which today received a patch which added the feature. Evidence of planned connectivity between the PlayStation Network and the PC versions of Sony games was discovered earlier this year, but it's only become official with today's update. A new registration page on the PlayStation website, which allows players to make the connection between their accounts, is also now live. Quote, link your Steam account to PlayStation Network to receive unlocks in this and other PlayStation Studios games, the webpage reads. Quote, you will also receive the latest news, updates, and offers from PlayStation Studios games on PC or PlayStation platforms. Register by creating a Sony account for PlayStation Network or by signing in with your existing Sony account and password. End quote. Tim, it's happening.
It's happening, I hope. You know, this is the type of thing that looks like it's a lot of good news, but until we actually have it just work, it's going to be a pipe dream, right? Because we're looking at this and it's like, but even then, the hesitancy I have, it's like Sony is really going all in on PC. I would have never believed it. Like, I feel like we are 10 steps further into the PC ecosystem from PlayStation than I would have ever expected. And every time we take one more step, I'm still surprised.
Yeah. Now, I want to take a pause here. Barrett, are we still live? Because everybody
not on YouTube, and I don't know what happened. I'm hitting up Kevin because I think we might be messing
something
with
the restream.
So,
gotcha. All right. Twitch seems we're still live. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, like, you know, going back to the story here, I love that this is happening. I love that this is happening specifically because PlayStation linking to Steam, I think, bodes well for what the future is of PlayStation on PC. Because I think inevitably it is inevitable that there is a PlayStation launcher, right? Or a central PlayStation hub on PC that is proprietary that you go to do whatever PlayStation shit that you want. I don't want a future though where it is cool. get everything on the PlayStation PC launcher, and now we're cutting off from Steam, we're cutting off from Epic. I think the best case scenario is being able to go everywhere for everything. And being able to link your Steam account to your PlayStation account, I think is the best case scenario for, oh, thank God, maybe I can buy a PlayStation game on Steam and launch it off of Steam, but then still earn trophies and still do the online stuff, right? Whenever they announce or reveal and release their online games. I think that's the best case scenario. I'm still like, you know, a bit nervous about it, and especially talking about PlayStation doing their own thing, right? Doing PC launchers. I went to the link. There's now like a PlayStation page on their website that is, hey, connect your account to your PC or to your Steam. And would you know that link was not working? I was clicking the button, nothing was happening, right? It was deja vu of yesterday when they launched PlayStation Stars, and I kept trying to sign up for PlayStation Stars, and I kept getting a 404 error. And so PlayStation on PC is a thing that I think is going to have a lot of growing pains. And, you know, it's something that, like many PlayStation services, I think, you know, it's going to be a thing that they have to learn and get through and figure out the kinks as it's going. But I think being able to partner with Steam and Epic, the people that are doing this stuff right and do have the ecosystems that people already like, is the best case scenario, because then you can kind of get past a lot of those growing pains.
Yeah.
So good on you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is best case scenario. I don't know how likely that is, especially when you start thinking about the ramifications of that for their business, where Microsoft already made the decision to triple down. And it's like, yeah, if you own the game, you own the game. And if it's Game Pass, it's Game Pass. And there's PC and Game Pass, Xbox and all that. Whereas with PlayStation, if you're linking the accounts between stuff, it's like they want you to buy the game twice, right? They don't want you to get the PC version free if you have the PlayStation console version already. I think that's where it's going to start getting dicey, and they're going to have to make some decisions. Cause like right now, as far as I know, all the games that you can link your PC or like Steam or Epic or whatever to the PlayStation console side, they're free to play games, which is different, right? Like the monetization's a completely different strategy there. So I can't imagine them necessarily wanting you to be able to buy God of War on Steam and then be able to play it on PlayStation. And I think people would expect that functionality if your Steam account could log into your PlayStation. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we'll have to see how they tackle it. For now, let's continue talking about big console business story number three. The FTC could reportedly rule on Microsoft's Activision deal by late November. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. The Federal Trade Commission, aka the FTC, could reportedly rule on Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard by late November. That's according to Deal Reporter via Seeking Alpha, which claims the U.S. regulator's inquiry is still at the staff level, but that is expected to progress through the Bureau of Competition and onto the commissioners over the coming weeks. The publication's sources claim FTC staff have significant concerns about the $68.7 billion merger, and that the regulator has been engaging with a number of competitors opposed to the transaction, including Sony and Google. Now, that's the end of that story, but I do want to bring in another story. This comes from Benji Sales on Twitter, who tweeted out yesterday that it appears that Brazil has just approved Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard with no restrictions. And then he follows up and says that Brazil also adds that it's not their job or role to protect Sony / PlayStation's interest or position. And even if Call of Duty or the Activision catalog goes exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem, they don't believe it makes the market anti-competitive. And so, yeah, we're going to hopefully see results by late November on the FTC dealing. But Brazil is cool about it. Brazil is like, yo, it's chill.
It's all good. Play. Yeah. We'll see you on the other side. We'll play Call of Duty where we play Call of Duty.
Exactly. Have you been keeping up with like the moment to moment of this whole situation? Like Ryan
just flying on places show.
And being like, please, no, please, God, let us have Call of Duty.
Yeah, I just can't wait for it to be over, man. I keep saying this and I'm broken record, but I hate the fact that like both Xbox and PlayStation have to say ridiculous statements that either are just facts that when you say them sound stupid, or they're saying things that we're all looking at like, that is such a stretch of the truth, but it's like they have to do it. They have to say these things, and then we're all just commenting on them because those are the things being said, but they have to be said. It's awkward as hell, and I just want this to end.
It's that thing of like when we see certain, like when you see fan games get made, right, that are like, hey, here's another Metroid 2 remake, and Nintendo goes after them, and people are like, what the fuck, Nintendo? But Nintendo's like, yo, we're about to put out a Metroid 2 remake, and we can't let this trademark get lost, right? We have to do this. And also, I'm sure to some extent, Nintendo wants to do this because of the Nintendo. But on some extent, they have to do it, right? I feel like that kind of comes back to a lot of how this is getting treated, where people are fucking going off on Jim Ryan because of the statements that are being made, and because he's flying to fucking wherever to, you know, fight this this acquisition. But like, the fact of the matter is, like, a lot of it is just procedural. Hey, this is what we do when this happens, and like, we kind of know that Microsoft is gonna acquire Activision Blizzard. It's inevitable, but it's part of the process that we have to fight it, because business is business. But it is funny to see. It is funny to see them talk so openly and frankly about shit that has this, like, what the fuck? Like, all right, cool. I guess Call of Duty really means something to PlayStation. And the fact that Microsoft has a website now where you can go to, like, explain, hey, none of this is nefarious. We think it's good for business. We think it's good for competition. We think it's good for everything. Like, it's fascinating to watch, just on the big business level.
I mean, it just gets funny because the more you talk about it, inevitably you're going to say something that's ridiculous. Like, you just said, without trying to be funny, you just said a line of Jim Ryan flying to Brazil and places to fight the acquisition, as if it's like he's fucking Rocky getting in there, like fighting
he's
off training. This, like,
he's running, yeah, up the stairs.
Exactly. I love it.
Absolutely love it. Do you know what else I love?
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames,
where you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors. We are huge fans of NZXT here at Kinda Funny. And I gotta say, these monitors, they're Andy Cortez approved, Kevin Coelho approved, and Tim Gettys approved because of their sweet 1440p resolution with 165 hertz refresh rate and 1 millisecond response hits. That sweet spot for gamers due to the balance of picture and performance. And now available in a 1080p 240 hertz version for the most competitive of gaming situations. They're available in 27-inch and 32-inch curved displays, variable refresh rate support for all of the major GPUs. You can get the monitor just alone, you can get it with a stand, or you can get it with some pretty cool mounts. There's built-in software support with NZXT Cam that lets you control all your monitor settings directly on your PC. No need to mess with the clunky hardware menus to lock in your desired settings. They thought of it all. It's sold exclusively on NZXT.com. You can learn more about the NZXT FHD Canvas Gaming Monitors at NZXT.co/KFGFHD. That's NZXT.co/KFGFHD. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. All of this with no annual fees, large security deposits, or credit checks to apply. You can start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to a license from Visa. USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Get your credit journey started with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes, doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/KFGames.
Story number 4. Blizzard is scrapping that phone number requirement for Overwatch 2, at least for a majority of players. This is Logan Plant at IGN. After negative feedback, Blizzard is scrapping Overwatch 2's requirement for a non-prepaid phone for most players. The change should come into effect this Friday, October 7th. In a forum post, Blizzard community manager, Jody wrote, quote, "We designed Overwatch 2 to be a live service, which enables us to be responsive to a variety of player feedback. We have made the decision to remove phone number requirements for a majority of existing Overwatch players. Any Overwatch player with a connected Battle.net account, which includes all players who have played since June 9th, 2021, will not have to provide a phone number to play. We are working to make this change and expect it to go live on Friday, October 7th. We'll update players once it is in effect," end quote. The SMS Protect system was intended to help curb cheating and disruptive behavior from players, and it will remain in effect for those making brand new accounts. Quote, "Accounts that were not connected to Battle.net, as well as new accounts, will still have to meet SMS Protect requirements, which helps to ensure we're protecting our community against cheating. If a player is caught engaging disruptive behavior, their account may be banned whether they have a new account or not," reads the statement. The post ends by saying the team will, quote, "make further adjustments in this area if it is required," end quote. The statement does not confirm whether the previous block on prepaid phone numbers has been removed, and we've asked Blizzard for a comment. Tim, have you been keeping up with this phone number situation for
a while? Unfortunately. It sucks, man, because like it's one of those things where there needs to be solutions in place to cut down on the cheaters and all the bots and the proxy bullshit. But then also it's like, hey, video game developers, maybe don't require things that people don't want to give out. And like some people don't have the means to give. Like this is like one of those interesting things. I remember for a very long time, from like 2004 to 2011, I didn't have enough money to have a cell phone. So I just didn't have a cell phone. That made my life very difficult for so many reasons. And this type of shit every once in a while would just totally fuck me because I didn't have a phone that I could use.
Yeah.
And it's like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. And that's like, that's basically the whole use case here, right? Like as this story was popping up the other day, when I first saw the headline of like Blizzard's requiring you to use phones players are really mad, I was like, well, do we not have phones? And then looking into the story, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. They're blocking prepaid phones. And a lot of people, like a good amount of people
have prepaid phones. From Blizzard. Classic.
Yeah. I do love that they're changing it, because it did come off that way. I think a lot of people were like, yo, I can't afford to like certain plans, so I have to go with this plan. Like, when I first moved to Seattle like 5-6 years ago, I think I had a plan like that. That was prepaid. And guess what? At that time, I was enjoying Blizzard. Overwatch.
Was Blizzard the company that did do the meme thing where they're like, do you guys not have phones for like mobile games?
That was, I believe it was Diablo Immortal, where like I think people might have booted it, and the guy was like, do you guys not have phones? And so it's it's a little bit of a repeat of that, but at least they're on it. At least they're fixing it to some extent. Oh, please fix it so that I can play the game. Because I really
again,
like,
that's the thing is, it sucks because fixing it is just like putting your finger in the hole of the dam while another thing's busting open. It's like, that's the problem with this. It's like these systems need to be in place to make the experience better, but they like stepped on the rake essentially. And it's like, it's unfortunate that things don't just work the way that they should, you know?
Yeah. And it's that thing where when one thing goes wrong, there's a second thing that goes wrong, and it's a third thing, and it just keeps piling up. In the way that I look back at Fallout 76, where like the launch was busted, but then also the special editions had the wrong bag or whatever the fuck that got people mad. And every day to every week, it felt like there was something new that was wrong with Fallout 76 that had people mad. This is a little bit of what the Overwatch 2 launch feels like, not to that extent necessarily, but in terms of, oh man, I can't get in on launch day. Oh man, y'all are getting DDoS attacked. Oh man, I can't get in because you're not accepting my phone number. Like the thing for me the other day at launch was the fact that I had to connect my phone number. I forget for what reason, but they made me connect my phone number. I guess it was required for everybody. And as I was doing that, I was like, cool, I guess I'll go on the Blizzard website. And guess what? The Blizzard website was down because everybody was trying to get to the website to connect their phone number. You know, it's always something. But hopefully, you know, they're able to clean this up sooner than later, because it's been such an unfortunate last couple of days of Overwatch 2 launch. And a game called Overwatch 2 shouldn't have a launch this bad. It's not all on them, because of course you can't really control a DDoS, but even still, man, it fucking sucks.
It really does.
One day I'll play Overwatch 2. Do you know a game I'm never gonna play? It's a game called Babylon's Fall. This is story number 5. Platinum Games is sorry about Babylon's Fall. This comes from George Yang at IGN. Platinum Games says that it is sorry about the impending shutdown of Babylon's Fall's servers, but also notes that it will not impact any future live service plans. In an interview with VGC, Platinum Games CEO Atsushi Inaba said, quote, "The only thing we can comment on here in terms of the closure of Babylon's Fall service itself is that this unfortunate conclusion might have been something that had triggered some disappointment, perhaps maybe even anger to our dedicated fans and players. And any disappointment that we might have caused for our fan base is something we feel extremely sorry about. The fact that we led our dedicated fans to feel that way as a developer, providing any sentiment other than enjoyment and fun in our creations to players, is something that we're not very happy about at all as a developer," end quote. Inaba, unfortunately, was unable to go into any specifics about Babylon's Fall's shutdown, noting that it was up to Square Enix to divulge any further details about it. However, despite the game's failure, Platinum Games still wants to invest in live service games. Quote, "There's a lot that we learned from this experience, and it's not changed our future plans or outlook moving forward regarding doing live service games at all. Live service games are definitely something we want to do and put our effort into moving forward," Inaba explains. Tim,
yep,
they put their hand on the stove. Mm-hmm. They got burnt. They did. You know what? They're like, fuck it, let's put our hand on the stove again. Let's keep doing this.
Just a little bit, you know, let's see what's happening. don't get fooled again, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious. Like, I want them to succeed, obviously. Platinum Games is a fantastic developer when they want to be. But yeah, I have such little faith in their live service pursuit, mainly because none of their games seem like live service games, right? They make fantastic character action games. They make fantastic just action games in general, right? Like, you look at Bayonetta, you look at Nier, you look at Astral Chain, you look at, even going back, right? Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance, and the list goes on in terms of, oh, these guys have a specialty here that they should hone in on and like really double down on. And the fact that they're like, nah, man, we can make a live service game. We can do it. I'm like, nah, man, don't do it. Yeah. I don't think that's you, bro. I don't think that's you.
It's rough out there, man. Yeah, we really shall. And it's like, when you look at these teams like Platinum, that like, I really am so interested in what the video game landscape is going to look like in 5 years, even when it comes to groups like Platinum, right? That don't have the publisher distributor arm that we see things like the bigger dogs like the Ubisofts and Square Enixes and stuff have. With all these acquisitions and decisions being made, it's like, it feels like Platinum has had hits and misses in a way that no one of their size has that quantity of in both angles, right? Yep. So it's like, I really wonder what is going to happen to Platinum.
Do you think anything bad is going to happen to Platinum? Do you think that this might be the Platinum's fall?
I think, I don't think it's going to be Platinum's fall. I do think something's going to happen to Platinum. I think Platinum is going to get acquired. I just don't know by who or when and what that's going to look like.
Do you have any top contenders on who could acquire Platinum?
No, I mean, yeah, like Tencent, right? Or freaking like the Embracer Group, like any of the obvious ones. Like, I think it's more likely to be one of those than
a PlayStation
Sony
or Xbox.
Yeah, but that is also an option. I don't see that happening.
Hear me out. Nintendo, come through.
Mm.
Bayonetta has done so well for you. And Platinum, yeah. I think,
Wonderful
has
101, Bayonetta.
Wonderful 101. They have the third iteration of that Hero trilogy coming through sometime soon. There's enough connection there. And I think there's probably enough like, hey, you're a good developer and you make polished games when you want to. Let's acquire you and let's make sure that we're honing in on the stuff that you guys do well and make that part of the Nintendo catalog. I think there'd be something there. Yeah, I don't think Nintendo's the type to acquire like to that extent. They don't really do that as much, but.
But they have acquired, you know, they're not against acquiring, and it would be different, but not unprecedented. But I don't expect that to happen because I think they have a good relationship right now, just being able to kind of partner with, but.
Yeah. Story number 6, the Far Cry 6 Game of the Year Edition is out and it's $120. This comes from Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. The previously rumored but unofficially announced Far Cry 6 Game of the Year Edition is out now, priced at $119.99. Retail listings for the new edition popped up on the PlayStation and Xbox digital stores today, confirming previous reports that the game is set to receive an expansion. Existing Far Cry 6 owners can upgrade to the Game of the Year Edition for $59.99. Headlining the new edition is the, quote, Lost Between Worlds expansion, which is coming soon. The Game of the Year edition includes the all-new expansion, all season pass content. You can play as the past Far Cry villains Voss, Pagan Min, and Joseph Seed in 3 twisted DLC episodes. The full Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon Classic Edition game, which is actually a good thing to pack in there. The Ultimate Pack includes the Jungle Expedition Pack, the Croc Hunter Pack, and the Vice Pack. And then you can enjoy all free game updates, including a new difficulty mode, ammo switch, individual loadouts, and more.
Okay. No. No.
You don't want to revisit 2021 Stop. Game of the Year? Far Cry 6?
I am utterly beside myself with what you just told me. So first off, let's just get the elephant out of the room is what I want to do. I want to look at him straight in the fucking eyes and say, get the hell out. Use the small door. I want you to squeeze. Okay, elephant.
Squeezing that elephant through the door. Goddamn.
Get the hell through that tiny little door, you big old elephant.
Goddamn.
Who the hell gave this Game of the Year?
That's what I asked last time this was rumored, Tim.
That's the thing.
Your wrong came through, and they're like, well, technically on the Game Awards thing, Giancarlo Esposito won Best Performer for something. It's like, fuck you.
That's not Game of the Year.
That's not Game of the Year. We need that to be clear. Now, the second thing is $60 for the Game of the Year edition of Far Cry 6. Or sorry, I'm just Far Cry 6, right?
For $60.
Was it 60 or was it 70 when it first came
out? When it first came out, I want to say.
Let's just pretend it's 60.
I think Ubisoft has been doing the ubiquitous 60 for both, especially when it's cross gen.
So let's say it was $60. They're now asking double that for a game that wasn't received glowingly. right? This late in the game after launch, and you just read me what this includes. An all-new expansion that's coming soon, all season pass content, the old stuff, an old Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon Classic Edition game, a bunch of other stuff. Hey, this man. All reads to me as like, oh, hey, this is the Game of Year edition of a game that came out that actually got Game of the Year awards. We're going to make it. It was $70. Now it's $60, and you get all this other stuff. Now, that's how this should read.
To be clear, if you don't already own Far Cry 6, it is $120.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you already own it, then yeah, you're paying $60 more for all this shit.
That's even more insane. That's the wildest.
If you already own it, you're paying. You're basically buying the game again to get all this additional.
This reminds me of when it was either Origins or Odyssey. I just know I was at IGN at the time, where one of those season passes, that was the only way you could get like Assassin's Creed 3 remastered or some shit. And it was the, and then they eventually were like, all right, now it's its own thing. The fact that they're like trying to tie in Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon into this is like such a weird, like, why
it's definitely that, like, all right, what can we put into this thing to kind of justify the $120 price tag? And so like putting in Far Cry 3 Blood, because that's the only thing that caught my eye. I was like, oh, Blood Dragon, I love Blood Dragon. I don't love it enough to pay $120 for like the Far Cry 6 Game of the Year edition or an additional $60. But like you put out Blood Dragon for $15 on the PlayStation Store, I'm buying that, I'm playing it again. It's a fun
I am beside, I'm really yourself? Bad. Yes, this fucking elephant won't leave. It's just here. It's
stuck in the door.
His name is Eves.
Can't squeeze. Eves, like, Eves. Oh.
Eves the elephant.
Oh, gosh. Is he French?
Get out, Eves.
Oh, man. You hate to see it. All right,
you really do.
Oh, no, my guy, yeah.
He didn't make it through the door, anybody. Story number seven, let's round out the Roper Report with some happy news. Pete Hines just got a promotion. This comes from Danielle Partis at GamesIndustry.biz. Pete Hines, former senior VP of Global Marketing and Communications at Bethesda, has been promoted to head of global publishing at the studio. GamesIndustry.biz can confirm. Additionally, Aaron Losey, Vice President of Global Marketing and Communications, will now lead all of Bethesda's global marketing and communication efforts. Hines joined Bethesda Softworks in 1999 as a member of the marketing team, primarily working in a PR capacity on the studio's Fallout projects. Quote, it's a privilege to lead global publishing for Bethesda, a place that's been my home for 23 years, Hines said in a statement. Quote, it's humbling to think about how far we've come in that time, and I'm excited to work in this new role to help our world-class teams make great games, end quote. Go get him, Pete Hines.
Go get him, Pete Hines. So proud of the boy. This is awesome. He's tapped his leg into our hearts, and now he's tapped his leg into a promotion, a very well-deserved one. He's been doing this since 1999. Dang.
Wild.
Dang, son.
I hope he still comes out on the E3 stages. I want to see him continue to present stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think he will. He got promoted. Yeah. You know what I mean? He got promoted. The stage is his now.
But, like, Todd, did he get promoted Howard in the way time where it's like, all right, now you're just in an office collecting money? Or did he get promoted in a way where it's like, no, we still want you to talk on stages and shit for us?
I hope he can.
Or are we going to start seeing more Aaron? Because I'm down to see Aaron too. I don't know if I've seen Aaron on a stage, who's now doing more of the work that Hines was doing.
Yeah, do not know Aaron, but I'm excited to meet them.
You know what I'm excited for?
What?
I'm excited for the next Bethesda game showcase, which is just the Xbox game showcase. This is the same thing now. But Tim, that is just so far away. Mm-hmm. If I want to know what's coming into Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, we got Medieval Dynasty for Xbox Series X and S. We got Nier Automata for Switch. Townscaper VR for Meta Quest and Pico VR. Nier Automata, I guess this is the same thing. Nier Automata, the End of Yorha Edition for Switch. And then Trash Sailors for PS4 and Switch. We have one new date for you, of course, Need for Speed Unbound for PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC via Steam, Epic Game Store, and Origin will launch on December 2nd. December 2nd.
Bless, I got December one more 2nd. For I got one more for you for out today.
Oh,
or at least up today. The Steam Deck official deck thing that you can get is up for
the Steam Deck dock.
The Steam Deck dock is up for pre-order, I believe. It's a little pricey. Let me see what the price was that Wario put up. $89.99. So there you go. That is,
honestly, that was less than I expected you to say. When you said pricey, I was thinking it was going to be over 100. $89.99.
I was hoping for $60 personally, but yeah. So that's apparently up for reservation. And so log in with your Steam accounts and check that out if that's something you've been waiting for. So there you go.
Hell yeah, I've been waiting on this. And then we got, I already did new dates. Then deal of the day for you. Battle Chef Brigade Deluxe is up on the US eShop for $3.99. And so if you're somebody who's been looking out for Battle Chef Brigade, I know quite a few people that love Battle Chef. And so $4 sounds like a great steal. Yeah. You get to be a chef and you get to battle. What more can you ask for?
That's it.
Now it's time for reader mail. Of course, you can write it into kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show, just like Marco Hutchins did. Marco writes in and says, Wahoo KFGD. On this beautiful day of the Mario trailer reveal, I have two questions for you. One, do you think there will be a new Mario game released next year, sometime close to when the movie comes out to tie in with the movie? And two, what do you want for the art style of the next Mario game? Ever since someone put the idea into my head of a Cuphead style hand-drawn Mario game, I will forever wish for that. But as long as it's different from the quote new/Wii style of game, I'll be happy. Love the show and can't wait for the studio stream next week. Marco. Tim Ma fucking Geddes. Are we getting a Mario game to align with the Mario movie?
You know, this is probably one of the things I've talked about the most on camera when it comes to video games, is just my love for 2D Mario and my sadness that we haven't had a new look for it in decades at this point. I will never forget sitting at the library in high school, sneaking in E3 updates on the internet in the computer lab and seeing the announcement of new Super Mario Brothers coming to the DS. And I was like, Oh my God, we're getting a new 2D Mario. This is absolutely wild. And this was after the previous 2D Mario before this. This was 2006. The previous one was Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. Debatably a Mario game. So before that, it was Mario World, right? 91. That's a big ass gap. And even then, we don't get Mario games that frequently, which is wild to think about when it's like the core actual games. Like even the 3D games, we had Mario 64. And then Sunshine, and then we get into Galaxies and stuff. Mm-hmm. When New Super Mario Bros. Came out on the DS, it had the art style of Mario 64, and they never looked back. Once Mario 64 happened, it homogenized the look of Mario across the board. Mario, his friends, the Mushroom Kingdom, all of it got this very sterile look that was awesome at the time. But here we are, decades later, and every single time we see Mario and his friends, they look exactly the same. And that is something that grinds my gears, bless. I just want something unique. You think back to Mario 1, Mario 2, and I understand 2 has its issues. I don't give a shit. Mario 1, both Mario 2s, Mario 3, Mario World, Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, all of them had unique art styles that helped make the games stand out and be special, be unique experiences. I want to see that again, and I think that we will. I really do. Wow. I mean, we're going to at some point. And I think that the timing is better now than ever. The 2D Mario team hasn't worked on or hasn't released anything in so fucking long. What have they been working on? We have the Mario movie coming out. They're going to want to get some promotion there. Traditionally, 2D Mario games outsell 3D Mario games by a ridiculous percentage. Mario Odyssey has bucked that trend to an extent, but you better fucking believe if they put out a new 2D Mario game with an actual new art style and all this stuff that's exciting, you're going to activate every part of the Switch audience. And that game is going to sell like gangbusters. We've seen what cross media can do to game sales in the last couple of years with the Netflix shows and all that, with Cyberpunk and The Witcher. Guess what it could do to fucking Mario?
Here's what, that's a good launching off point for where I want to go, Tim, because this is what I want to posit. To start off with the number one part of Marco's question, no, we're not going to get a Mario game to align with the movie, at least at the same time, right? I think Nintendo is very like, hey, everything is its own thing. Like, obviously, the movie is to promote the Mario game and vice versa, right? But I don't think you're going to get a game that comes out the same month or possibly even the same year as this Mario movie. That said, what I wonder is if this movie is a hit, which, judging from the poster, and now I'm at a place where I'm like, dude, this movie could actually be really good, and I'm very excited to see the trailer. I'm hoping the trailer hits. But if this movie is great, and Mario is talking the whole time, what are the chances that fans start to demand that Mario talks in his games? Right? Like, if enough people watch the movie and are like, oh, this is awesome. Man, Mario talking is actually pretty great. Yeah, like, I want more of this. Is Nintendo, Like, does Nintendo then have to, like, react to that? Do they have to go, fuck, we gotta make Mario Talk?
There's no shot that Chris Pratt's performance is gonna be, like, is gonna be so spectacular that people are gonna be like, I want this little man, this little Italian plumber, to talk all the time.
I don't know, man.
No shot.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty hopeful for what we're about to get in this trailer, but I think Barrett's right.
I think at best it could be fine. It could be okay. I don't think it's going to be above and beyond where people are head over heels of like, we need this little Italian man to talk all the time while he's jumping and punching and flipping his little hat. Like, there's no way. No.
People are saying no way Pratt is good. Listen, I'm not the biggest Chris Pratt fan either, but he's pretty decent. Like, he's a funny dude, and like, he's done voice acting shit in the past, right? Like, it's just his voice role.
It's just his voice, though. Which is
got a good voice.
Yeah. But this isn't me saying Chris Pratt's gonna be the second coming of Christ when it comes to performing as Mario in this movie. But if the movie's good and it is, hey, like, we like talking Mario, I could see that eventually becoming a direction of, hey, what if we made a 3D Mario where Mario actually has dialogue, where he's talking to people?
I mean, the thing is, we've had Mario have dialogue a million times before in the RPGs and Mario and Luigi series, like all that stuff. We just didn't hear the VO side of it. I don't think that there's any world in which the Mario platformers are going to require, like, extensive voiceover work. Like, when you think that's it.
Because Mario Odyssey, I think, could have had that, right? Because, like, what? The other fucking Peach talks and shit. I think.
But so little. That's my thing.
All she does is she yells, Mario! That's it, man.
Yeah, but I think in a world where people are like, actually, we could use more of this, I think you find more situations to have them talk. Because Mario does have cutscenes. The reason why Mario doesn't talk is because, like, it's Nintendo, and they're like, I don't know, Mario doesn't need to talk. Like, we've never made Mario talk before. Let's just not make Mario talk. If people start to be like, yo, actually, we like this, we want Mario to talk, which I know people have had for Zelda forever, and they still don't have Link be voiced. But if that's the thing that people become used to and become accustomed to from the movie, I could see scenarios where it's not like Mario's talking throughout the whole game or whatever, right? But like Nathan Drake. I'm not looking for Mario and Nathan Drake out here. It was like, no. Like, I'm not looking for that stuff. But if it is like, hey, there's 5 cutscenes in this Mario game, and Mario is actually a human with a person and a brain, as opposed to like this fucking thoughtless plumber. I'm not calling plumbers thoughtless. I'm just calling Mario the plumber.
Wow.
Thoughtless. But if it is just thoughtless Mario standing there, just like, you know, with not a thought behind those eyes, fucking just standing there. Like, yeah, I could see that working. Like, I could see them maybe giving Mario a voice in these games.
It's so funny. I mean, you guys know Mario is one of my favorite video game franchises ever. And it's like the older I get, the more that I play these games, the more I love them. It's not like I've outgrown it. I don't think I'm ever going to. I'm going to be so excited for any new Mario project that gets announced. Because of that, because I've grown lived my entire life growing up consuming Mario media at the peak of Mario mania. Mm-hmm. Like, I have heard Mario speak many different times in many different ways, whether it was Bob Hoskins in the movie or I don't know the actor, but we had the Mario World and Mario 3 cartoons. I watched those religiously. Like, I'm not against Mario having different vibes. If I'm being completely real, the voice that he has now, Charles Martinet, fantastic. I'm over it. Like, it's part, his voice is completely aligned with what I'm complaining about of Mario being sterilized and just turned into this homogenized, like, the same thing over and over and over. I want to see reinventions. So bring on Chris Pratt. And next up, give me A$AP Rocky. Why the fuck not?
Well, let A$AP Rocky voice Mario. But yeah, to the going back to the original question, right? What do you want to see of ourselves the next Mario game? If we're just talking about Mario in general, I want the next Mario game to be Mario Odyssey 2. Like, I want a sequel to Mario Odyssey, or give me Mario Galaxy 3. I'll take either one. You know, I think Odyssey still has a lot of room for exploration in terms of what you can do with that branch of Mario, the 3D Mario. But then also, I think a lot of people would appreciate a return to Galaxy just for the nostalgia and for, like, the fact that Galaxy is fucking fantastic. And so I can see one of those two being the next Mario game. But yeah, for 2D Mario, I'm right there with you, Tim, of like, I don't know, man, do something fresh.
My dream next Mario game is a Nintendo-made 2D Mario game with a new art style. And honestly, I'll take anything from that where this is a crazy thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it. Bless.
Say it.
We heard a lot of rumors.
Get crazy.
A lot of rumors.
The elephant's gone now.
About, yeah. Bye, Yves. So there's been a lot of talk about what is Nintendo EAD working on? What's the Odyssey team working on? And there was concepts of maybe it's a 2D Donkey Kong game that is a bit more like open world, more of an adventure. I'd be okay with that. If Mario wasn't just 2D challenge platforming, obviously that's in its DNA and that's going to be part of what it is. But if it was a bit more Metroidvania, a bit more, maybe less Metroidvania, just more open overall, I'd be really interested in that. But I want to see Nintendo use their full creativity to do a new 2D Mario with a new art style, new vibe, new everything, mainly because we've seen so many people do 2D Mario type games extremely well, arguably better than Mario has in recent times. And Mario has not failed. They've only brought out like 9s or 10s when it comes to these shit, but there's Celestes out there, right? I want to see Nintendo do something more with Mario that puts it more in the Super Meat Boy Celeste conversation of like, oh, they've evolved. They've done something new, right? And again, not following exactly what they did. I want Nintendo to give me the 2023 Nintendo version of a 2D Mario game.
What is an innovative Mario game in 2023? What is something that takes shit to the next level?
No, you're going to get 3D Land Part 4 and you're going to like it, Tim.
Well, hey, I'll fucking take that too, honestly. Yeah, that actually sounds really fun. World game is fantastic. I'm sad that I don't think we're going to get more of that. We got Bowser's Fury, though, which is more than I ever thought we would get. So
God, Bowser's Fury was fire. I love Bowser's Fury so much. Now it's time to squad up. Brandon H. writes in and says, I missed the boat on Overwatch 1, and it got too toxic for me to ever want to jump in. But I'm hoping some chill best friends would be interested in helping me learn Overwatch 2. I'm usually only available on weeknights after 10 p.m. EST, and sometimes on the weekends. Any help would be much appreciated. If you want to play with Brandon H., you can add Brandon on PS5 and Xbox with the username ProphetGK. That is ProphetGK. Go help him out with some Overwatch. Now it's time for one of them rotating segments. We got a required reading for you today. We're going over to IGN. This is a Rebecca Valentine exclusive, and I implore you, go over to IGN, give her the click. This is an amazing article. It's very long, but it is titled How a Plants vs. Zombies Game Died So a Star Wars Game Could Live and Then Also Die. The article starts. I'll read like the first parts of the article, and then I'll point you guys over there because it is a fantastic read for the parts.
The link will be in the description.
Hell yeah. In the second half of 2016, a small team of developers at PopCap Vancouver were gearing up for a presentation that will determine the future of their team, their project, and potentially an already beloved franchise, Plants vs. Zombies. For the past year, they had been working on a brand new Plants vs. Zombies adventure that will take the series in a very different direction. Though they had EA's blessing for their work to that point, it wasn't a guarantee the project would ultimately see the light of day, especially given how ambitious it was. It was called Project Hot Tub, a humorous but vague reference to the 2010 film Hot Tub Time Machine. It was to be an action-adventure game with the open corridor progression of an Uncharted, the combat of something like Batman Arkham Knight, but the family-friendly vibes of a Ratchet & Clank. Project Hot Tub featured a pair of teenage sibling leads who were thrown back in time by a zombie-corrupted experiment, teaming up with familiar plants from the Plants vs. Zombies series to fight off zombie foes across multiple historical eras. But sometimes, even with promising projects, they're dropped for unexpected reasons. In the case of Project Hot Tub, IGN understands it was shut down to extend more resources to Visceral's Star Wars project, which itself was canceled not long after. That's where I'm going to stop, and that's where I'm going to point you again to Rebecca Valentine's article, because all that right there is fucking fascinating. Yep. And also wild, because that sounds like an awesome Plants vs. Zombies game. And the fact that like they got pulled off of that to work on a Star Wars game that never came out breaks my heart. That sucks.
Yeah, it really does, man. It really does. Oh, this is sad. But yeah, go support Reb. Doing great work over there at IGN.
Great job, Reb, on this report.
Actually doing journalism stuff.
Yeah. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Where you at in? Let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so you can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Ignatius says, Peach has talked since Mario 64, where the game starts their VO. I don't know if we got that wrong, but...
Nah, bro.
Yeah. No, we mentioned Peach talked.
Yeah.
I did hear a little Mario thing, you know, when she screams. And Bowser's got her, and he's like, I'm going to marry you. She's like,
every single time I see the beginning of Mario 64, where it is Peach, like the Peach letter, I get like Peach. Maybe the strongest burst of nostalgia I ever can get.
So this, I have a quick story I need to tell. I know we're running late, but I have two things I need to say that I got irrationally angry about in my childhood that I'll never forgive. One of them was Barney. I've always hated Barney since the day I first laid eyes on him because I was obsessed with Thomas the Tank Engine. Fucking obsessed. He's blue. He's perfect. Okay. Then one day I go to turn on Thomas the Tank Engine and guess what's on? This fucking dinosaur named Barney. And I'm like, what is happening? And my little brother, Cool Greg, he's all like, I'm 2 years old. And I'm like, hey, what is this? He's like, I love him. And I'm like, no. And he's like, I love you. He loves me. We're a happy family. And I'm like, get the hell out of my house. Get out of that door. Go follow Eves. All right. Then second thing, second time my life was destroyed. Bless. I boot up Mario 64 for the first time. It loads up. I'm reading this beautiful letter, this beautiful handwritten letter from Princess Toadstool. And it's signed Princess Toadstool. But then she says Peach and it says Peach. And all of a sudden there's some Toadstool erasure going on. And I've had to live every day of my life. Bless with this lie that she's now going by Peach. Sure. It's her first name. I get that. But don't call her Princess Peach. I get we call her Princess Diana, but I want to call her Princess Toadstool. I want to call him Dr. Robotnik, not Dr. Eggman. He's fucking Robotnik. I can keep going, but I'm going to stop right now.
What you got against first names, Tim? What you got against first names?
A lot.
Let my girl Peach live, all right? She wanted to rebrand. Dude. She just wanted to rebrand, you know? Nah,
Toadstool.
If you wanted to rebrand to like, you had the rebrand to the Forbes 30 under 30, right? That became your intro. Why don't you let Peach do the same thing? Mm-mm. Let Peach be Peach.
No.
That's what I say. We got a couple more year wrongs for you. Bader SN says Barrett said Blue Toad was the only main Toad in one game, but Blue Toad along with Yellow Toad are playable Toads in both New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, and Super Luigi U. However, Blue Toad is not featured in the Switch version as he was replaced with Peachette.
Okay, and but then, like, it's still Red Toad. Y'all can fuck off with that stuff. Who was trapped in the wall when we first walked into the castle in Mario 64 begging for help? Who was our homie? It was Red Toad. Miss me with that blue and yellow toad shit.
Do you think this might be an era thing? Because I'm with Barrett that, like, it's Red Toad. But, I mean, Blue Toad was the main Toad in Mario 2. Blue Toad seemingly is, like, one of the main Toads in these
games.
Is it because we're 94 babies?
No. Toad's okay. Red. Toad okay. is red. There's no question about that.
Okay. My other question, can you change Toad's color in Mario Kart? Or is he just red by default?
I assume Toad is just red in all the Mario Karts.
My case stands.
It's a good point. It's a good call. And then Nano writes in and says, Giancarlo Esposito was only nominated for Best Performance. He didn't win the award. And Nano, I don't like the shady tone you're taking toward Giancarlo Esposito. He only deserves respect because he played Gus in Breaking Bad. And so that's how I feel about that. Tomorrow's host for Kinda Funny Games Daily are going to be Tim and me if you're watching this live. After this is Mike and Nick playing some Warzone. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com. This is Kinda Funny Games. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.